know whether God hears every song we sing. Some of them are not of his probably domain, but I bet you he heard that. I believe he heard that. Before I really get into the lesson, I want to take just a moment and share with you my thank you for you all that come and you all that put up with the lessons that I have prepared and all of that. I was looking in the file folders this afternoon and yesterday, and I've got about three boxes of notes that I've kept over the period of time I've been doing this. And I got to thinking about how Ruth helps me, shares with me my ideas, listens to all the garbage that we discard and all the stuff that I think about, that you all put up with this. I don't know whether you get anything out of it, but I want you all to know that I get more and more and more and more every time I do it, and it's just it's been a real blessing for both of us, because we share not only our reading time, our prayer time, but now she gets to ask questions beginning this evening. I'll start saying what's next week. So there's anyway. Thank you. Now you know, God says in Isaiah 26:4, trust in the Lord. And in Genesis 17:1, walk before me. And in Micah, walk humbly with thy God. And in Psalm 37:7, my hope is in thee and rest in the Lord. Well, I think that sounds like God's interested in you. I think he's interested in you. And there's more. Glory in the Lord and pray continually. I think God's interested in you. And what I wanted to really try and do tonight is maybe a little, I think, to be right honest with you, maybe a little difficult. Maybe I'm not on target on it, but I'm going to make an effort to try to do this. I would like to attempt to make an application of God's Word that is outside of and beyond what we would normally think of. In other words, situations that we wouldn't anticipate maybe from what we read in the Bible and what history tells us. So, Roy Zook and Larry Waters were teachers, both of whom I studied under at Redeemer Bible Church in Dallas. They taught word for word. So they would read a verse, they would then discuss it, try to make it understandable, then they'd read another verse, and they would go into the text and read another verse, and they'd comment on each verse as they went through, trying to make what sometimes biblical language in the Bible is a little more difficult for some people to understand, to try to make it understandable. At the close, Roy Zook would go into about 4 or 5 minutes of explanation and application of what we had studied. Somehow apply it to our lives in today's terms. On the other hand, verses read by Larry Waters he placed so much importance on the application that the students at DTS Seminary called him Mr. Application. Larry would admit he deserved the monogram because he would say application, application, application about 5 minutes or 10 minutes before the class was over. So let's consider the terms. Teaching the word means read the words of each sentence and teaching what those words mean to us as believers. The verses of the Bible usually refer to the history of God and the persons, the nations and the business times. They refer to the commandments of God. They refer to actions taken by the people and the nations in the history of God. Some of them were in accordance with what the Bible would tell you to do, and some of them weren't. And the parables and the stories, which were used primarily for encouragement. So, definition of these terms, we learn God's Word by hearing the Word, by reading it now more so maybe than we used to, because books are more available than they were when the Bible was written, so maybe they would have put more in there. Although Timothy and I think the latter chapters of the Bible do say, read the Word, read. Experience is action, applying God's Word or not. Experience can be either good experience that does follow the Word of God, or could be contrary to the Word of God. Application, on the other hand, when God's talking about application, He's talking about applying the Word to what we undertake to do. And examples, either doing God's way or doing it contrary, are intended to encourage and to teach you what, teach those of us that study the Bible what not to do. Teaching God's Word, the Bible, the Logos. About 1970, a member of our church in Dallas was owner of a company that manufactured an innovative medical device used substantially now in COVID. He was considered an expert in the specific treatment in the house, in the world, really. There were only two companies in the world really producing these machines, or even trying to produce these machines that they were using. And he was called in as an expert in specific medical situations and use of the machine, and developing new ideas for the use of the machine. Competing with them as another company in the market. Both were solid companies, and both of them were fundamentally, substantially of the same value at the time. Now, he was a Christian friend. He was also a friend of another friend that had kind of this same attitude that he had. And he would tell me that, in fact, he asked me to give him some advice a couple of times. And during the conversations and everything, he made it very clear that his idea of a successful business was to stomp that other company to death. Crush it. Get rid of it. I understand that the other company is still in business. But after they said that, you see, I didn't see him very much after that. And I don't really know. He was busy doing about his things. When he belonged to that church, and Judy and I left that church and moved to another church, we really lost contact. But he had a nice house, liked his house. We liked that neighborhood, and we were looking for a house and bought up in that neighborhood. I ran into him. He doesn't know it. But I saw him working very hard to see if his Social Security check could cover their food expenses. I think somebody stomped somebody. I really don't know for sure, but I've seen him several times. He doesn't recognize me, doesn't pay any attention to anything going on other than watching how much money they're spending on food. You know, I had a carving instructor that carved that gave me the words. I would go to his class, and he'd say, "Well, business is business." And I would think, okay, and I'd give him $25 for the two-hour instructions that he would. And then I'd get ready to leave, and he'd give me a knife he made that he sold for $45, and he'd give me a block of walnut that was worth at least $100, and he'd give me a couple of other pieces of wood, and then he would give me some books, and then he would give me some other tools that he had, and I'd walk out of there with couple of $100 worth of items. So when he said business is business, I didn't really, after that first time, I didn't really think that much about it. But, you know, for my church member to do what he was talking about, it was just business is business. In Primus, and Terrell gave me this comment in Primus, that was in Primus. And this is a little discouraging, but anyway, it raises the issue that I was trying to make an application with a little bit. The article in Primus, which is written by Hillsdale College, which is a nonprofit corporation, takes no money from the government or anything else. And in Primus, the article is done by an economic expert by the name of Michael Recton Wall. Don't know what his classifications are, but this is his comments on it. It's not anything that I hadn't been already reading. But what's going on in our country is what they call a reset. And what they're talking about doing, you see, is to take away from shareholders. So if you're investing in a corporation, they're taking away your investment rights, and they're giving the benefits to stakeholders. Well, who are the stakeholders? The stakeholders are the ones that benefit from that corporation's activities or benefits or what have you. And they are all, in case you have any ideas about what they're about, those companies are woke. They're into the woke agenda. And so what they're doing is they're trying very hard to only deal with the woke people. So if you're not woke, then they're trying to force you out. So those companies that we deal with in this country right now are being forced out. The mom and pop corporations were forced out with COVID using the woke theory. And they're trying to force out the companies. And they're using the information they get from the internet. When you use the internet, they begin to know that you're talking with Republicans or you're reading Republican type stuff or you're reading the woke stuff. They know what your theology is. They know what your all of this is passed on because, you see, even though the government originally said government can't open your mail, they haven't said that with what goes over the airs. So the government's able to look in there, and other people are able to look in there and get all that information. So they know exactly what you bought, what Ford tractor you bought, what Ford truck you bought, or whatever. And they're doing this in companies, and so this is the reason, you know, the gun manufacturer back east that was manufacturing guns has been closed down. It destroys that community, because that was the only company in town that was really paying anybody any salary. And those people then are all without a job. Where do they go? There's their homes. Their homes, you see, when the town is destroyed, can't be sold for enough money to buy a house someplace else. So we're really destroying the country, doing a good job of destroying the country. Business is business. That's what they would say. So one of Ruth's favorite verses is, do not be afraid of the words you have heard. And that's very good to follow that. But you see, this is not words. This is action. They're actually doing this. They're undertaking to harm the very people that invested in their company. And according to the author of this, Recktenwald, according to him and others that I have read on this, they all say the fix is in. It's already a done deal. They're already doing it. Amazon is one of those companies. You don't need to be afraid of the words, but the action here is contrary. And as Christians, we keep looking for God. Please, God, intervene. Please, God, intervene in this. Take care of these evil sinners. Well, not us-ins, but the evil ones. God does not always intervene. And Christ is the perfect example of that. He didn't intervene when he could have for his own son. So he doesn't always intervene. Trust the Lord, which is not always, not always in what he says, trust me, trust me. But he doesn't always come and intervene in our tough situations. He may or may not help a person out with the cancer, may or may not do what you would seek in your prayers. But God also says that you follow the government regulations. So we follow the government's regulations. 2 Timothy tells us that we are under the laws of the government and we need to obey those laws. We need to follow them. Now for an example of biblical lesson of application, let me see if I can make this work and then see if it really makes some sense to you. But in 1 Samuel 18, Israel wants a king to be like other nations. Wants a king to be like other nations. God does not like the idea. Samuel does not like it. But God says in the final analysis, give them a king. Daniel says in 2:21 Daniel, he removeth kings and sets up kings. He's in control. And so even though they granted the kings, he sets up those people. And in Daniel 4:17, the Most High ruleth the kingdom of men and giveth it whomever he will and setteth over it the most basest of men. And in Psalm 2:4, he that sitteth in the heaven shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision. Now the application of the lesson. I see our founders, the founders of this country, what they wanted was they wanted no king. They'd had their fill of a king. They'd had their fill of a king, but they didn't want a king. They offered a kingship to George Washington because he'd fought the battle and won, but he turned it down, and the rest of the people in the community also really were not gung-ho. George Washington maybe was a different type of fellow, but they didn't really want a king. Had enough of the European kings. So they formed a democratic republic and gave each citizen of age the vote in elections. Oh, except for black slaves and slaves. Got to control them, you know. In essence, you see, he gave you one, one percentage, whatever that is, the percentage to the number of the voters there are in the country, he gave you that one little slice of kingship. Because the founders were trying to create something different. What they said, we gave you a democratic federal government if you can keep it. And you have one vote in the election. Well, I know that it's been said that there are other people that voted 40 or 50 times and they ballot and so on and so forth. But technically, legally, if you're following what the law says, you should be just voting one time. And you have that one slice, that percentage of that kingship or that ability to control who gets the job. But you see, people in the United States have become very comfortable. I don't know how many people tell me they never do what I want them to do anyway, so why should I vote and don't? And I've had people not vote because he wasn't of the right religion. And I've had people not vote because, you know, you're not voting for a religious priest, you're voting for the government officials to do the job, and then we abandon our job. There's rarely do 50% of the population vote, even in a presidential year, that could vote. We become comfortable. We follow, if we follow 2 Timothy, we have to obey the law. Well, you see, the Constitution gives you the right, but doesn't require that you actually vote. But I think if you really apply God's wisdom to what he would say, he would, and this is where, see, make an application in a situation that really just doesn't fit exactly, you're kind of making a suggestion. But it seems to me that if you had the opportunity, you ought to really exercise that opportunity and follow the Second Amendment, and follow Timothy, 2 Timothy, we would undertake under that interpretation or application, we would undertake to vote. Every time we had a chance, and we would undertake to vote intelligent every time we had a chance. Does God gonna guarantee that guy that we vote for gets in there even though he's the best candidate? Doesn't necessarily mean so. There were good kings, bad kings, and he's in control. He's in control of our elections. He's in control of what's going on right now. And the other thing you can do is you can write Congress and do what you want to say to them. You can write those congressmen. Oh, but they don't pay any attention. And I can assure you that one of the government officials that we have that's been in charge way too long in the Senate for the Republicans has a Chinese wife. And the Chinese family from China, you see, gave his wife and him $50 million. His wife's family, you see, runs a shipping magnet in China. Now, the shipping magnet is the communist elite in the reset in China. So, communists had to get the idea that, you see, we can't do without business. Business is business. We've got to have business. So we have elite businessmen, but everybody else in China is a slave to the government. And that's where they're trying to go with this woke in this country. Everybody in this country would be a slave to the world's elite in this country. And the founder, what happens then is that they're succeeding. They've been at it quite a while. And you see these companies that are involved in it. Let me see. I had this list. Let me make sure that I get those to you right. I think I skipped over it. But Amazon is one. BlackRock is one. BlackRock is an investment company. And what they do, and you can read the chairman, they'll tell you up front what they're doing is they're investing in woke companies. And if you don't believe in woke, they're not interested in investing in them. So you are basically, if you invested in BlackRock, you are investing in Chinese communist form of government in the United States. Oh my. Oh my. In Psalms 2:4 says, He sitteth in heaven, shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision. He's laughing. And what happens to all these, communist efforts? Well, so far, communism has never, ever, ever worked. And what happens is that we're going to be uncomfortable for a while. Amazon, Apple, Google, Facebook, BlackRock, we're going to be uncomfortable for a while. What can you do? Well, for one thing, I don't think I would participate anymore. I keep trying to say don't use Amazon, but you see, Amazon is so cheap. The reason it's cheap is because they're working on what's coming down the pike, the fix, because they'll get big. They'll be like the Chinese family in China that runs the shipping company that is able to give their son-in-law and their daughter $50 million. That's what they're working on, taking it from you and I. Well, you know, see, it's like voting. Anything we do is not going to be too swift because communism has to go through this process of eating itself up. And if you read what went on in Mao Zedong's communist countries, you know, there's a book back here in the library about two women that escaped from communist China. And what they said was, his dad was a doctor and he was okay with the communist regime until somebody had to get their report of bad eggs, enough reports of bad eggs so the communists could enforce the rules. So they lied about him, and he got put in jail. Because they had to make their quota of reporting bad eggs, people that weren't communist. And ultimately, you see, this all begins to fall apart. But in the meantime, people suffer. Chinese system of capitalism. They succeed. And all these efforts for the communist regime in this, in whatever form or system is all, they've all failed. And then while we're suffering, what do we do? What do we do? Well, number one, I don't know whether I can convince somebody in my family not to use Amazon because it's so dang cheap. I don't know whether I can convince somebody not to use BlackRock as an investment, because they're sure making money. You're making more money on that stock than you are on some of the others. I don't know whether I can convince people not to use BlackRock. I don't know whether we can convince people not to use other these other companies, the phone company, the company that handles our phone. And it's the only phone company we can use. It's a Chinese company. Do you know? Because they don't have to. They don't have to keep a secret who we call. They don't have to keep it a secret. They don't have to hide the ball that they're doing it. They're sharing the messages. How much do they know? Do they know what I say on the phone? Do they know what I say in the emails that I go through their company? They're the only company in town. Well, we need to not use those companies, and it's going to cost. Just will. Of course, you see, God says, trust in the Lord, have faith in the Lord, hope in the Lord, walk with the Lord, rest in the Lord. We still need to do that. We still need to do that and pray ceaselessly. And in John 4:18, he says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. No matter which way, God is still in control. No matter what happens, persecution, whatever. Now let me share with you what I think is good news, because they've gone too far. They have gone too far, too fast, and the rise in the border, the truckers that are hauling the trucks to complain, they've gone too far. And so I know you will tell me no, but I recommend you make your observation heard with those people that are candidates for the election, and call them up and tell them you want to know where they stand on this junk. And vote accordingly. We've got Republicans in the state of Texas that tried to get rid of Paxton. We've got Republicans that are affiliated with former presidents of the Republican Party that are trying to get rid of Paxton. If you don't call these people and find out where they stand and vote accordingly, you are giving up that one little tiny tidbit of thing you can do to try to help the situation. Is God going to object? See, I think God wants you to use what authority and power and wisdom you have. And so like Samuel, not happy that he was being booted out as judge, and they're going to appoint a king. His kids, his boys, were not fit. But anyway, he was not happy. Not going to be a happy time if we have to look at the paper and see that we could buy the same thing for less money somewhere else that's woke than what we pay with somebody that's not playing the woke game. And the government's in a bind because we don't have the OOMPA and the military to fight the battles that may be coming down the pike, so we have no idea what's coming down the pike. So what do? We need this church and the fellowship in this church with one another. And we need to be reaching out to other people in this community. We need to use the meat market that's local. We need to use as much of the people that are local and not affiliated with these big, large companies as we possibly can. It's going to cost money. It's going to cost more than doing it the least expensive way. But unless there is a feedback, a kickback, unless there's a kickback of some sort, like there is on the border with Texas fighting back, it's just a little tiny bit of the area. The rest of it's all being walked over by people. It's just a little tiny area. It's just a test case. They're going to try and test it in the Supreme Court, see which way they go. And it's risky. It's a risky business, but that's all they got. And if we don't fight back, and if the truckers would not to go after they've said they would go, you see, the government, those people that are collecting our money, and sending us letters demanding that we fund their campaign because they're short of money. Well, you know, they voted so that the money they don't use, they get to keep. They don't use it, they get to keep the money. They voted themselves an insurance policy that's better than anything you can get. They voted that for themselves. They vote themselves their salary. We need to rise up and say, we don't want those people flying over dumping who knows what in our air. We need to tell them. And this needs to be done by the small people, because the big people are the elite, and they're the ones making the money. And they like, you see, making money. Business is business. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this day. We want to pray that you hear us and that you really will not leave us, that you will comfort us and you will come to us and that you will help us in times of our need. And we anticipate that it might be maybe worse than we would hope, or maybe we can rise up. Give us wisdom, Father, so that we can say the right things and do the right things. And if it really is an opportunity for us to maybe make an uprising without really doing a battle or fighting with swords and canes and sticks and guns and what have you, if we can rise up and let the world know that we're not into this business of business is business the way they do it, that we want it done in a legal and fair and meet and proper way in accordance with biblical provisions and biblical wisdom. That's what we want. And we pray, Father, that you would guide us and lead us in that effort. And we pray, Father, that this church continue the fellowship that it has. And not only this, but is able to expand it, because the people in this community, many of those who probably don't go to any church, many of those people are going to suffer the consequences just like the rest of us. And they will need help more and more and more. They can easily break our back. So we pray, Father, that you help us to rise up and get the changes that need to be made to make this more biblical, more appropriate in your eyes type of a country. Not a country that you laugh at, those that are in leadership positions, because you know where they're going. We pray, Father, these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.